Let's pray. Lord, you are the Word that has become flesh, the revelation of God to us in a way that could never be if you did not become one of us. And now we know you more than ever. And now we are sons and daughters of God. We are adopted into the family of Christ, for you have come. So as we ponder and reflect on what you have done in this world, as we look forward in hope at what you will do, guide the meditations of our hearts, guide the words of my lips, that we may together glorify you. As we reflect and ponder on that which you have done. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bible's hard to keep open. Of all the Christmas narratives, the one in John may be, on one hand, the most challenging. The Word has become flesh. The Word was with God. But it's also the most important in many ways because it tells us who the Word is. Before I step into that, as I was writing this sermon and thinking about it, I was thinking about how hard Christmas is for many of us. Those who aren't with us, those we've lost, those we're afraid we're going to lose, the pain and hurt that comes from families that are broken, failed fathers, failed mothers, failed children. The pain of disease, the pain of depression, all these things we face in this world, it seems odd for some of us, for many of us, to sing joy to the world when we feel no joy. And the Word comes into that world. The Word made flesh. What is the Word? The Word of God. The Word that made this world, that spoke it into creation. The world that communicated God to David, the Word that communicated God in a burning bush to Moses, the angel of the Lord who visited Abraham to promise him a child, the Word of God, the communication of God, is living among us this day. He has come. And that's what makes Silent Night such a poignant song. Because if we know anything about childbirth, it was not silent. But it was silent until the Word came into the world. This Jesus who shows us who God is. This man who is God, fully and completely God and fully and completely man. And so we sing joy to the world. I was studying the concept of joy in Scripture, and this is what I realized about joy. Although we can have a feeling of joy that can come from joy, we can have a sense of joy. Joy is not based in our emotions that move and fluctuate. Joy is a second gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a confidence in God and what He has done in the midst of our struggles. When we feel no joy, it is that Christ comes. And so to have joy in the struggles, in real life, is to reflect, as we're doing here, on what Christ has done to reflect on the story of the Word made flesh. For the Spirit's work is always, always to take us to the Son. Right? The Spirit's work is always to take us to the Son. And so joy, like love, the first gift of the Spirit, leads us to the Son. And so joy is something other than emotions. The gift of joy can exist when you can't get yourself out of bed because you're suffering so much. Joy is God's gift to us, not our gift to God. So I'm going to grab this picture. This is mine, by the way. So. but I wanted to bring this out here. Because joy is a reflection and a thought. It's a participation in what God has done. Joy is looking at and thinking about those wise men who were pagans, who were Gentiles, who were reading the stars and figured out that Christ had come. And so when we reflect on the wise men, we reflect on the reality that God's revelation is everywhere, at work, in everyone. And these wise men are the only ones who come and treat Jesus as a king, who bow down to him. So joy is a reflection on the shepherds who are missing in this picture. but they are a reflection on the shepherds, the lowest class people in a culture of people who are conquered by the Romans, sitting out in the dark, looking for wolves, sight set. And bam, an angel of the Lord who sends them to be the first outside the family to see Jesus. Think about that as we watch the presidential campaigns and we see the proliferation of pride and arrogance in every single one of them. And in us, that Christ first brought the shepherds. Joy is a reflection on the angels who sing the glory of God now and forever. And in this time, they appear and they sing over this child. Joy is a reflection on Joseph, who could have put Mary away when she was pregnant. And in fact, by their own standards, should have. Because she was pregnant, and it wasn't his. But he did the right thing, because he feared the Lord. So joy is a reflection on the fear of God. That is the reverence and respect for the Word of God in this world, in our sufferings, when we're challenged to do what people say is right. We fear the Lord. Joy is a reflection on Mary. Right? Mary, who said yes, this little teenage girl who bore God in her stomach, who contained the kingdom of God, who became the temple of God in this world, and bore the kingdom of God out.
joy is shaped by a reflection on the journey. This journey to Bethlehem. Think about it. She was about to have a child, perhaps already in labor, to have that baby that night, this night. And the kingdom, the Roman Empire, demands that everybody goes to their hometown and is counted. And they care nothing about her, they know nothing of her, they do not value her or her child. They value their power. And in the midst of that, under the power of an empire, prophecy is fulfilled. Those things that the enemy tried to work against them, fulfilled that which God promised. So then we reflect on humility. We reflect on the honor. We reflect on the journey. We reflect on the hope that God is at work everywhere, that the angels are around us singing. And ultimately, we reflect on Christ, the Son of God, in a manger, screaming his head off, crying, dependent upon Mary and Joseph and the family to keep him alive and fed and changed, developing in this world, experiencing everything we experience, knowing all that we know and redeeming it all in himself. That the Word has come and revealed something deep about God that helps shape how we envision our lives in this world. So the joy comes from being formed by the narrative of God and what it means. There's a lot of voices in this world saying a lot of things, and one of them is our own. But there are a lot of voices in this world telling us what to think. And every time you hear one, reflect back. Does this represent the humility of Christ? Does this glorify God? Right? Does this honor the faithful? Joy is in the other room. Joy is in the star that nature itself proclaimed God.
So Christ is among us. He is with us. He is Emmanuel. That is God with us.
He is in our situation. And he is restoring all things. In this little manger, in this little place, God incarnate is there. And in the humility of his act, of condescending down from heaven to us, he shows how foolish Rome is, how foolish the powers around him are, how foolish those who try to build something that can last forever outside of what God builds himself. And we know in our suffering, in our grief, in our struggles in this transitory life, this ever-changing life, we know that all will be made new, all will be made whole. And in that confidence and hope that God gives us by the work of his Holy Spirit, we have the joy of God, the joy of Christ, the joy of true hope in the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And everything has changed, and human destiny is fulfilled in him. And we are his. And where two or three are gathered, he is here in the midst. He is here He has come to us this day. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is in our midst. Joy to the world. And joy is knowing that He who spoke the universe into creation does not forget the baby bird, and He does not forget you, and He is with you. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, hallelujah, Christ has come. Hallelujah, Christ will come again.